Is here, Lindo's here. It's always Vasquez. We got a full house to talk about the Super Bowl. It's 58. It's Chiefs. It's Niners. It's a good matchup. I like what we got here. I have a hard time calling it, so I'm going to mostly let these guys hit on it here. The spread, according to our official sports wagering partner, I believe is at 2 last time I checked. Does that sound right, Vasquez?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
We have on the Super Bowl, you'd think it'd be on the front page. Two and a half leading to a San Fran, correct? Yeah, which is interesting because San Francisco's got the better team here. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the Chiefs have an overwhelming defense that, unfortunately for you, Vasquez, overwhelmed the Baltimore Ravens a week or two ago now. Looked super impressive doing it. And I don't think there's any question who has the quarterback advantage in this game. So I always love taking the points in general. Now, in terms of who actually wins the game, I do think that's more of a toss-up here. But I'm surprised. I mean, this game started at 3.5 in favor of the Niners here. So, listen, Vegas always knows the Niners team's nothing to mess with in terms of their skill top to bottom on both sides of the ball. But if you really just put a gun to my head right now and made me pick, I have to lean Chiefs, Vasquez.
Yeah, I probably would have to lean towards the Chiefs as well. I think a lot of the concerns that we had with them throughout the regular season, which was how they were going to score points, seemed to have, you know, dissipated pretty quickly in the postseason. Rashee Rice has been a fantastic wide receiver for them, and that was really the big concern. And when you got the best quarterback in the game in Patrick Mahomes, with all due respect, who is a multiple-time Super Bowl champion, multiple-time Super Bowl MVP, it's really hard to bet against them in these moments.
Window, where's your head at on this game?
Pause. I'm gonna go Chiefs because I just think they have everything going for them right now. If you want to go conspiracy theory, it's that they've been building up with Taylor Swift this whole way just to make sure that she gets the victory. I'm serious. Even though it's right, she's not on the screen, all of the media is surrounding her every week. So in terms of the actual players, it's just funny that this was the year that we said the Chiefs really don't have a team. I mean, their offense has gotten as bare as it could. Who is he throwing to? How good is Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Pacheco? And then you get to the playoffs, because of course they're going to make the playoffs, and he's unstoppable like usual. I mean, we even got Valdes-Scantling daggers 2 games in a row. So this defense has been stonewalling teams. I think it was 2nd in the regular season. They've been super good, but so have the 49ers. And what the 49ers have that's either an advantage or a disadvantage is that they've been a second-half team back-to-back weeks. So if it looks like they're not coming out swinging, that's not any real indication based on how they've played over the last few weeks. Typically, it's a bad sign if a team plays to the level of their opponent. It shows that they don't really have the spirit within themselves. They're looking for external sources to, you know, show how good they can be or should be. But they're showing it every week. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. And they lost some bad games this year, but so did everyone. And when it comes down to now, I'd have to go Chiefs because Pat Mahomes is the better quarterback. If you need a guy who has to make the plays himself, he can't just rely on his weapons, it's Patrick Mahomes. And he's got weapons. Pacheco has definitely increased his value over the last few weeks. He is running harder than anyone I've seen this year. Rashee Rice has been a breakout. Valdes-Scantling can catch. And Kelsey's over the injury concerns, and he's catching
Kelsey
too.
Kelsey went off last week.
Yeah, and I think the highlight play for me that just showed they always figure out the play and the call. They always figure out the play is that, you know, Mahomes got hit on a pass. He threw a wobbler up on a 3rd and 5, I think, and Kelsey went and dove for it and got it when he thought that's you know, they're going to have to punt. So I'm going Chiefs on this. They just have it all.
Yeah, for me, I would say you look at how the 49ers played the last few weeks. And, I mean, you could say they played down, but you could also say those teams lost the games. The Packers, the Lions, they had chances to close those out. And you look at a team like the 49ers, they're built, you know, not looking at Purdy, but everyone but Purdy, you know, they're a very solid team on all sides of the ball. And when you put that up against the Chiefs, and I know, I mean, against the Chiefs, and I know they have Pat Mahomes, you know, you want to just say, I'll go with the quarterback. But I think the 49ers will figure it out. And although you could say they played down to their opponent, those teams lost those games. I trust with what they built, and I trust them actually being able to figure it out, figure out Mahomes ultimately, and figure out that defense. And if there's one team to beat that Chiefs defense, I'm taking the 49ers.
Yeah, it's a fun matchup. I'm glad this is what we have here because it's more interesting with Mahomes in it. I think I did love that Ravens team, and the Chiefs certainly went through tough competition to get here, and I think had doubts in every round just about in this team. And I didn't love them during the year either. You talk about the weapons, you talk about how bad they looked right from opening night and that drop heavy game against Detroit. So this would be an impressive one. I'm not ready, Vasquez, for the Brady discussion like a lot of people like having here if he does come through in this one. But in terms of how many he's knocking off here in the first, what is this, his fifth year?
Oh, it's his sixth year currently.
Sixth year. So that's impressive if he's coming through with a third ring in a year where his team was pretty doubted here. And I think he's going to do it. Niners, whether you look at that Packers game where they got run on like crazy, and, you know, even last week had to come back from down big in that Detroit game. I don't love the way they look coming into this one. And they were a little banged up too, Linda, right? I know McCaffrey has been getting treatment on the sideline like crazy in some of these games. Debo was banged up at one point, right? And Purdy...
Debo was out. They took him out.
I'm a Purdy fan. The record, I don't think you can knock it. But he's not Mahomes. I don't think anybody's disillusioned by that. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here. Again, Vegas always knows they're leaning Niners. Chiefs bets are digging a little bit into it. But I feel pretty good picking the Chiefs here, especially getting points, Linda.
I don't want the Chiefs to win. You know, I would hope that the 49ers do win. You know,
are you not a Chiefs guy?
Do it for Mac Dre. No, I hate Mahomes. They, like I said before, they always get the call. So Mahomes.
Did you see something like 50 interceptions or something like that have been called back penalties
over the last 6 years? So his career, it was quarterbacks who have had interceptions called back for penalties. Second place was Josh Allen at 7, and first place was Mahomes at 53. So it's like he always gets the call. And you think back to the Jets game, they're down 3, they're driving down the field, and it looks like there's going to be a pass interference. The corner, I forget who it was, he takes his helmet off, which is a penalty in itself, walks up to the refs and says, that's not a penalty. No penalty for the helmet, no pass interference. The Chiefs win the game. They always get those little pushes, and Mahomes does everything else. So I hope they lose. I just don't think it'll happen. Do it for Mac Dre, 49ers.
What gives you confidence in San Fran, Dan?
I mean, I think you look at how they played for most of the year. They've been a dominant team when healthy. And I think we've seen their lineup offensively. Debo's been in and out. McCaffrey's been a little banged up. Where you could give them that excuse, and I think I'm going to give it to them with these past games where they haven't started the game strong. But, you know, it's the Super Bowl. They're going to be prepared. They know what the Chiefs have on offense. They know what the Chiefs have on defense. And
in a dome, too, which I think helps them a little bit.
And I think also when you look at the Chiefs, they have Mahomes, they have Kelce, but those wide receivers, you can't really count on them. And that's been something that's been the case all year. I know 49ers.
Better, though, as Lindo mentioned.
They've just gotten better. Valdez-Scantling stopped dropping.
They've shown up these past few games, but it's the Super Bowl. 49ers do still have a very solid defense. And I know they're not great or haven't been great at stopping the run, but I think you can kind of key in on the Chiefs' offense, on those sort of big play guys like Pacheco, like Kelce, and you know, Mahomes, maybe he pushes them over the top, but I think if there's a team to beat them on this stage, I think it's the 49ers.
You want to throw a score out there, Vasquez?
I will say Chiefs 26, Niners 20, 2. I don't anticipate it being a blowout because both teams are just generally too good. And the defenses will probably keep the scoring down just a tad. Now 22 points. If that's considered a little bit, that's just the state of the league now. I don't see it that being that high scoring in offense. I don't see it that being that low. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that'd be a pretty good game, I think, in the 20s. And who would you, if you had to put on MVP window, who would you go with?
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes. On the reverse side, it probably won't be Purdy. It'll probably end up being.
They always give it to the damn quarterback.
Yeah, but it'll probably be whoever puts the best performance on. And it's a situation which is unusual in recent memory where the running back has a significantly higher pedigree than the quarterback does for the 49ers, where Christian McCaffrey is pretty much seen as the best, if not, you know, top three running backs in the league. And Purdy, for all the game manager talk and whatever, he's played well and he's been creative, but no one puts him at that level. So it's a situation where everyone regards McCaffrey as the top dog and Purdy is the guy who's just helping him along there.
That's always a tricky prop just because it's always going to be the quarterback. I remember 2020. I thought that was the year defensive player might win it. And I think they deserved it in that Brady Bowl over Kansas City. Like a Levante David or someone like that, but Brady got it. So I lost that bet and got pretty good odds on it.
I'm not expecting anybody on the defense because I do think that they're going to be scoring this game. I don't anticipate it being a low scoring game, even though both defenses have been great. Both offenses have been outstanding. So I don't anticipate it being a defensive player.
Mahomes plus 140, Purdy plus 200, McCaffrey plus 440, Kelsey. I can't imagine, unless he just goes off, plus 1,700, Debo 2,500, Pacheco 3,500. Yeah, it feels like he'll be a quarterback here.
Even if Pacheco wins MVP, what was Mahomes doing if Pacheco won? He must have got hurt. Who's the backup right now for the Chiefs? He was playing. That's what.
How about Harrison Butker, 50,000?
Oh my God!
How many field goals would he have to hit? Like 10?
It would be one of those. So they get the wind blowing in the dome, and have him kick a 70-yarder through. That guy misses field goals all the time, and then you get to the playoffs, and he never misses. Ever. That's ridiculous.
Isn't he on a streak right now of 50-yarders? I could be wrong, but I think he's on a hot streak right now.
I wouldn't doubt he when it gets to the playoffs, he never misses. It's ridiculous.
It's something about these Chiefs. Some teams just have that playoff medal, that playoff wherewithal, and they're
they
one
got
of the
Andy Reid. That's a playoff winner right there. Number two all time, right? Something like that.
Are we calling them a dynasty if they win?
Oh, there's no doubt.
He's consecutive.
You know, I mean, the Pats won 3 out of 4 those years. To begin the very year,
this would be 2. That's not a dynasty. It would be 3 out of 4 or 5.
3 out of 5. No, wait, hold on. Because 19 was 54 was the Chiefs, 55 was the Bucks, 56 was
Rams.
I think it's 3. It would be 3 and 5.
Okay, that's not a dynasty. 3 and 4 is a dynasty.
Mostly the same group here, at least core players across them. So, and the coach, of course, as well.
That's actually what's interesting. It's the rematch, but this 49ers team, definitely better than they were then.
And yeah.
Once again, as much as people give Brock Purdy hate, he's much better than Jimmy Garoppolo. That's just it's just a fact. And he's better than Colin Kaepernick was back in 2013, was it?
Garoppolo blew it in that last one, too, with the overthrow. Dan, any individual performance you would bet on here?
I'm thinking if the 49ers are going to have a good game, Ayuk is going to need to really show out. And I feel like that's an underrated top performer for them. You know Debo Samuel, if he's going, he's not going to be at 100%. and it's easy to pick McCaffrey, but I think they're going to need more from their whole offense to kind of overcome the Chiefs. So I look at Brandon Ayuk as a potential top performer.
Ayuk 30 plus in each half plus 250. That's not a bad one there. Ayuk and Kelsey 200 plus combined 400. Don't mind that one either. It's a great game to bet on. Always a big one for me every year. Of course, FanDuel going crazy right now with the offers. Head over there. I know Gronk's kicking the field goal too. Think he'll make it this year. We'll see. But they're giving 200 in bonus bets is actually the offer right now when you make a $5 bet. Great day to cash in on that. Go over there. 21 plus President Mass, of course. Bonus bets expire in 7 days. $10 first deposit required. Restrictions apply. Check out sportsbook.fanduel.com for all the details. And, of course, head over there to fanduel.com/Boston to get those $200 in bonus bets. Of course, the trade deadline comes up first Thursday, just 2 days away, Linda. Not a lot of buzz, but most of it centered around your Lakers. They have their eye on everybody, as always. LeBron, LeGM is cooking stuff up. But shout out to the team for stepping up and winning a huge game in Boston, an impressive one. One of the more surprising upsets of the year, I feel like, because Boston was fully loaded for that one, I think outside of Horford. And they just smoked them. D'Angelo Russell's on maybe the best tear of his career. Austin Reeves is finding some great footing right now. I think all along we knew Reeves wasn't going to move. But Russell seemed out the door with Rui and whatever else they could package for, you know, maybe DeJounte Murray or some other guard. Bruce Brown, I know, is a name that's been kicked around as well. Credit to Pelinka. Last year he spun magic this time, getting Russell in the first place, moving off Westbrook. And even getting Vanderbilt as a throw in there. Now, Vanderbilt is down for a while now, it looks like, with the foot sprain. Not for the year, at least according to the recent reporting, which is huge if he can get back, because he looks super important, especially going up against a good opposing wing here. I know you've lost a lot of hope in this team.
Oh.
But with LeBron and Davis rolling at the level they are, I just can't quit them, especially if they're going to be going up against one of those unproven teams at the top of the West.
I've told you the same thing for weeks, and I've totally given up on the team. But I've told you the same thing for weeks. They're going to make the playoffs because LeBron's on the team. They'll win the play-in, and then they'll play whoever, and I don't see it. I don't see
you think if they go up against Oklahoma City round one, they'll lose?
Where's OKC right now, 2?
Yeah.
Yes, OKC is 2.
I don't know. The real thing is that they're all young because they're just a better team. Is that they're young and you're going against LeBron, and hopefully Anthony Davis has been healthy as he's been this season. I'm not in the position to really do that. I just know that how they look game to game basis across the season, it hasn't been swell in Los Angeles. And I think they've won 8 of the last 12, and they've had some good wins. They beat the Celtics well. They beat the Knicks, but the Knicks were super shorthanded. A win's a win, but you don't go home and say, we really took it to them. They were playing a lot of guys that weren't going to get those kinds of minutes. So you see those kinds of performances. They beat the Mavs a couple weeks ago. They are a good team. Their players, for the most part, besides Vanderbilt, are playing. They just don't have the total cohesion you want every night. And Taurean Prince has been a bench guy for the majority of his career. And he's suddenly become this, like, definitive starter on the team this year, which all fans are saying, we don't want that. What the Lakers, as you talk about the deadline need, isn't some crazy shooter or some superstar to put together a, you know, big three, as the big three's been dead for years now. It's really just some random playmaker, some guy that can take the ball out of LeBron's hands for a little bit, especially when he's off the floor, someone to keep Murray would cost. The easy one is Tyus Jones. He's not going to cost you that much. He knows how to play. He's reliable.
How about Dennis Schroeder?
If they were giving him away, I'd take him. But I just don't know that. Why would they help the Lakers? Why? And it They're seems selling. Like if you know, the Magic or somebody was like, can we get Schroeder? They'd be like, take him. But if it's the Lakers, they're like, we'll have to see about this. You know, Masai doesn't want to give out any free handouts.
Right.
It took him years to get rid of OG, and you know, you still got some guys back, even though the Knicks have flourished with OG recently.
And OG is injured now, of course. And
yeah,
and for the Knicks, it's looking like it's going to be a little bit shakier without a couple of these guys, Dan. That end to the Lakers loss was ugly. 7 minutes without scoring. Brunson doubled, effectively taken out of the game by the Lakers defense, which I still love. That is one dominant unit. I know I'm a big Rudy guy, Lindo. Davis deserves a lot more credit for Defensive Player of the Year than he's getting right now. But on the Knicks, Dan, the name you keep hearing is Bruce Brown. And it feels a little redundant with Josh Hart, some of the other wings they have there. But I wouldn't hate it if they're really all in on this year, because he's got that second year. They can fool around with that however they want. It's a team option. Use it as a trade piece over the summer, his matching salary. Keep him on the team or just let him go to kind of free up some money if you really want to. And, you know, whatever you want to do there, you can pretty much do. You have a million picks, which I don't think are a problem. I don't think you have to hoard those for a big move down the line. And this, when you think about Philly losing Embiid here for potentially the season, which we won't even get into. Milwaukee having all kinds of problems now, 1-3 under Doc. Celtics looking...
It's early.
Slightly vulnerable. This might be a year you really buy in on, Dan, and they dodged a big bullet with Randall's injury. I love how they've played. Mitchell's going to come back, it looks like, at least according to that disabled player exemption that they got denied. I just love the way they're playing. And that OG trade, I didn't like it at first, Dan, as you knew, but it's been a hit. So is Brown the right move to go all in this year?
Definitely not. He's not the right. And I don't know if it's just some bait that they're putting out there, but I don't think they want him. As you said, it's very redundant having him, Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, Grimes, all these guys that are just sort of copy and paste of different variations. I think we need a ball handler, as you saw with Brunson in that game. I mean, you could have Randall on the court with him. That would take some pressure off. But that second
unit. And the Murray team, too. Murray's been kicked around.
I don't think we need someone like Murray. One, it'll cost a lot. But two, I think that might be going overboard. I think someone like Jordan Clarkson, who can create his own shot, can handle
the ball. I love that name.
And won't cost too much. I think he would be a good fit for us. And I think we're getting promising news about Mitchell Robinson. They're saying after the All-Star break, he's going to be back doing workouts and stuff again. So we may get him back towards the end of the regular season. And that concern from the wing perspective, I don't think we'll really be as worried about. I think for me, knowing Randall's coming back is good, but we don't have a backup four. And that's something we need to explore and look into. And that's a concern going playoff time. But when you look at how the 76ers are, you know, Embiid's going to be out. The Bucks, I don't think they were a concern without, you know, the coaching situation for the Knicks. I think that was a team we could compete with. And, I mean, the path to the Eastern Conference hasn't been more promising for the Knicks than I can remember, truly. So,
Cavs are good right now, by the way.
And the Cavs, we've played them this year.
14 out of 15, right?
Yeah, we've played them this year. I know they've gotten hot recently, but we've handled them very well. And that's not really a team, you know, that I would be concerned about from a Knicks perspective come playoff time. I think we match up well with them. And again, it just comes down to when we get to the playoffs, how is Randall playing on the court? All health aside, what is his impact offensively, defensively? Can we count on him? Can we count on him to make the right play at the end of games? That we have never seen before. And, you know, I hope there's some pressure taken off having OG and Anobi on the court, having Grimes playing really well, having Josh Hart doing what Josh Hart does. But if we got to rely on Randall, it's not going to happen. So,
you know, I've said it before. If Randall had five less possessions a game, if five of those stupid possessions he has, if he had those five less a game, he'd be elite in this league. He'd be incredible. And the you won't find a bigger Randall fan than me, but the playoff thing is like a curse, man. He, during the season, he's putting it all together, and he makes the silly mistakes, but he makes so many great plays throughout the season that doesn't really account until you get to the playoffs, and then it just it's like only the silly stuff, only the nonsense. It like takes over him. So hopefully, if the Knicks do something, hopefully it's to get the possessions out of his hands for when he's going to make, you know, take a contested three with time on the clock, random turnover, etc.
And I think a guy like Clarkson, also a guy like Brogdon, those two guys would be really helpful coming off the bench in the second unit, or even given Brunson some blow from the starters, allowing him to get some rest. I think those are two guys that I'd love to see. Bruce Brown, he won't really change things for us in that respect.
And there's a lot of talk that a Brogdon won't move. And they're holding on to Rob, it seems like, because the Rockets went and got Steven Adams instead. So maybe that's true. But Smart supposedly not moving to Memphis. I even wonder how aggressive the Hawks are going to be in selling here, because they're certainly in the tank, but they've been very resistant to actually move in the past, especially this time of year. So
they're not in a tank. They just won a couple good games in a row. They lost to the Clippers last night, but they won some good games.
Yeah, but their record's in a bad place still.
Their record for, like, if you look over decades, is like 500. So the Hawks just don't win.
They don't want to pull a Bulls, which we know the Bulls aren't training anybody. Although a little DeRozan buzz right now. We'll see what happens there. Thunder aren't going to do anything, Vasquez. I think my Celtics probably are going to be pretty inactive too, barring any surprises here. What's one name you're most interested in, Vasquez, this deadline? And certainly a couple of teams like the Hornets are probably going to be going crazy selling guys, Hayward, Lowry, those types. You're probably looking at Pistons to make some moves here or there. Teams really at the bottom trying to position themselves even better for that top pick this year.
Nobody want Hayward.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Thunder are concerned, I don't really think we need to make any moves. I think we're far ahead our timeline as is. I think if we could have gotten anybody, we could have gotten a Steven Adams type player. You know, we're talking about a big and enforcer, somebody who can, you know, command their presence in this middle.
They need that bad.
They definitely do. As much as, you know, as great as Chet Holmgren is playing, I think he's my rookie of the year front runner. He is just a little thin. And when you're banging it down low with Jokic in the playoffs, that's not going to work. That being said, we have more than enough time. We have more than enough picks. And we have a GM that knows how to make the right moves. So impressed do we trust.
Yeah, and he's prone to surprise people too. Celtics, I'm looking at a 4. You know, I love O'Shea. Love what he's doing this year. Don't know his readiness level for the playoffs, especially last 18-ish. I think he's shooting 23% from 3. I'm still in that camp that they're going to miss Grant when push comes to shove. And that's an interesting one too. I guess the Bucks are looking at Grant. Bucks have looked at Smart. I think the Bucks are going to be super aggressive. They obviously got aggressive in firing Griffin to bring in Doc here. And that's about as aggressive as you can get. So they're certainly going to swing 4 or 5 second round picks for a guy if they can do it here. So I think Thursday might surprise us in terms of how aggressive teams end up being. Real quick, Lindo, I'll let you handle this one. I walked into practice today and another Celtics writer told me, man, what's going on with your Cues? And I'm like, I know, they lost to BC. I know. I'm like, it keeps getting worse and worse. And he's like, no, someone got kicked off the team. And it's true. Benny Williams, he's been suspended or benched so often this year that I don't know what this actually ends up doing to the team. But he was supposed to be a piece. He was supposed to be a factor here. I don't know how it all went so wrong. And this was across both Boeheim and Red Autry's tenure here. And clearly, he just made so many mistakes, infractions, whatever it was, that led them to just cut him loose. And the second sentence of the statement, Lindo, is pretty funny. Everybody wishes Benny Williams well.
Yeah. I mean, teams always say that. Companies always say that. On this team, he has a significant role. So it doesn't matter how well he's been playing. You still needed him out there. And what do I always say, Bobby, about a coach when he loses the locker room? What do I always say? He's got to go. So as he was dismissed, you saw the entire team in the comments, broken hearts, sad, pissed, can't believe that he got kicked off. So when you see stuff like he started the season off, violation of team rules, he's suspended. You see stuff like versus Wake Forest, I forget which game, he's tearing his he's ripping his jersey off as he's leaving. He's bumping shoulders into Red, walking to the bench. It was clear that there was a disconnect that it could not be healed with Benny staying on this team. But it's also clear that the team, the players, they didn't want him gone. So what to make of that? Brent Axe didn't have any insight at this point. He said, I don't know. I just know it's been the mix of things, and this was the last straw, whatever it was. So this is to dismiss a player in the middle of the season and he's not like on drugs or like arrested.
It's a
bad look for the team now, for the recruits you're looking for next year. And at present, Syracuse only have two recruits coming in, and they have no one else on the offer sheet that hasn't been decided yet. So it's not a good look. But it's also, this is a team very much in discussion of going to the tournament right now. Very much. They don't have a lot of great wins, but they don't have too many bad losses either. Boston College, that wasn't good. Wake Forest, oof.
The Virginia Tech one, too.
Florida State.
Florida State, rather.
To keep them out of the tournament.
When you look at it, they are a team that's still, if not, they were clearly in the tournament. Now they're in the bubble. This is a team that's still in position to make the tournament. And so when you have stuff like this, you don't know how it's going to affect the team. They have a game tomorrow night, I think against Louisville. We'll see how they play tomorrow. If they play tomorrow like nothing happened, okay. But eventually, you're going to need something in that Benny role. And we just haven't had a lot of guys that can bring an impact this year. So we'll see. If they make the tournament, that'll be special for Red in his first year. How far they'll go with this team, I don't know. But right now, it's just, can they finish this season out, play well in the ACC tournament, and make the tournament this year?
In a vacuum, I don't think it's a huge loss, but you're right. What it represents, Lindo, what it says about the coach, where they're going, it's not great.
In his first year, halfway through a season, he dismisses a player.
Yeah, no, and he's had trouble, like I said, under Boeheim. Last year, he was solid, but on a very bad team. This year, up and down and rarely available. So it's strange. It's not good. And it comes at a time when they're reeling a little bit here. And as you said, the reaction from the team wasn't great either. So we'll see what happens here. Just want to throw this in at the end. Thanks for stopping by, guys. Good episode here. Excited for the Super Bowl. We'll be back next week with some more conversation. I want to get to one of our topics in the chat as well, but we'll do that another time. Lindo, Dan, Vasquez, good talking to you guys. Check out the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get it, Dome Theory. And this has been a group chat edition. We'll see you soon.